At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.
Kick things off with a story that Eamon mentioned in the news headlines that data centers accounting for one-fifth of the country's electricity use, more than all urban homes in the country combined. Dara Cassidy is the head of communications with bonkers.ie. On the face of it, Dara, it's a staggering amount of electricity, isn't it?
It is. It's a pretty startling figure, Kieran, but it's not unexpected because it's been forecast for years now that the demand by data centres for electricity would increase significantly over the coming years. And as you said, 21% of all electricity is now consumed by data centres. That's up from just 5% in 2018. So it's a huge increase in a very, very short space of time. And when you look at the data centres that have already gotten approval and planning permission, it's expected that by 2030, around 30% of all electricity in the country will be consumed by data centres, which really is a staggering number. And if you just quickly compare that to the situation in other countries, the EU average is around maybe 3 or 4%. Mm. And I think the next closest country is the Netherlands. They're at about 5%. So it's a big figure. And I think the thing is, you know, should we be trying to be home, to be the home to every data centre in Europe?
Yeah. I mean, had we spare capacity in the grid, or has the grid been massively upgraded over the last few years? And is it due to be upgraded again? I mean, can we handle it? It's the question, I guess.
I don't think we can at the moment. And this is why there has been a de facto pause or moratorium on data centres in the Dublin region, at least over the past few years. That's caused a lot of debate. It's caused a lot of consternation. But we are in a situation where demand and supply at the moment is very, very tight. And we have seen an increasing number of alerts issued over the past few years. Which is what happens when, you know, there's a threat of a blackout unless action is taken. And demand is strong, supply is tight. We've had to procure some very expensive short-term emergency generation over the past year or so to try and meet that demand. That has high carbon emissions, it is expensive, so it's not good for the environment, it's not good for consumers' pockets. And I suppose the answer is no, Kieran. We're not really set up to have this many data centres, I don't think, on the grid, despite the fact that they do important things. I want to make it clear that no one, and I don't think you're saying, and I'm not saying, that data centres are not important. We know they're important. Our lives revolve around them. The question, though, is can we cope with the number that we're looking to accommodate in Ireland at the moment?
What impact has their presence got on electricity prices?
I would argue that it puts upward pressure on electricity prices. Now, how electricity prices are priced is pretty complex, and we could be here all day talking about that. But demand versus supply is one of the metrics that is a part of it. And that makes sense. It's the same with property prices, demand versus supply. And when you have such a big increase in the demand for electricity, that puts upward pressure on prices. It also means as well that quite often when the grid is very, very tight, we're relying on older and more inefficient electricity generators to boot up to match the demand. And that's not good. And as I've said, over the past year or two, knowing that demand and supply was tight, the CRU, the energy regulator, had to procure kind of, you know, last minute emergency high cost generation to get us through the past two winters, and you know, that also put upward pressure on prices. Now, At the moment, our electricity prices are around the second or the third highest in all of Europe. They have been for many years. There's other reasons for that as well. I'm not saying data centres are the sole reason why we have high electricity prices in Ireland, but they do contribute. You cannot have, you know, 20 to 30% of your electricity being consumed by data centres and thinking that that's not going to impact on price in some shape or form.
Jerry McEvely is with us as well. He's head of policy at Friends of the Earth. Jerry, are you concerned by that figure, 20% of our electricity now being consumed by these data centres?
And thanks for very much for having me on. Look, I think we would agree with a lot of what Dara has said there. I mean, first of all, really to hammer home that point that Ireland really is an outlier. It is not in line with anything like the EU average or with, you know, countries with similar climates or economies like, you know, the Netherlands or Denmark. But and as Dara mentioned, they have a really major impact on our electricity security, and that's why there's a de facto moratorium. But the other crucial point is that they're putting our climate commitments at risk. So there are now real legal limits and constraints on how much polluting emissions we can have. And to stay within those limits would mean essentially data centres gobbling up, you know, infeasible amounts of our renewable energy. So essentially, there's no room for the type of expansion that is currently that is currently on track if we're to stay within our climate obligations. So that's why it's a particular concern for ourselves.
So what should we do about it?
Well, so a few different things. So from Friends of the Earth's perspective, this is the result. The situation we have now is the result of weak policy and weak regulation. Now, that is projected to change somewhat. The energy regulator, as Dara mentioned, you know, that there are a new connection policy or new policies that are going to be put in place. But until we have A, sufficient renewable energy and much, much more investment and commitments by data center developments themselves, and until we have a clear pathway for these data center developments to align with our climate obligations, we need a moratorium in place, not a de facto one, but one implemented by government. That's number one. And number two is we need an end to speculative data center applications. So there's a huge issue that there's not sufficient transparency around how many data centers are actually to be developed in reality, or are they merely proposed developments, but they all get taken into account of assessments of our energy demand and our energy infrastructure. So we need that transparency, and there needs to be requirements put on data center developers at planning stage to commit to support, you know, a zero carbon renewables led system, to support and invest in renewables, and transparency around their polluting emissions.
Actually, I want to kind of come back to that relationship between data centres and renewables in just a moment, and sources of energy. But I know sometimes, and I've heard it made, the argument kind of in favour of locating them here, and it's arguably hard to defend the sheer scale of it at the moment, but that, you know, if you consider kind of emissions as a global problem, despite the fact that we have national targets, then by moving them out of here, you're simply moving them somewhere else. And, you know, the emissions still impact the globe in the same way. And that Ireland's climate, apparently, and I say apparently because I don't understand the science of this, but Ireland's climate apparently is well suited to data centres in terms of the amount of electricity you need to kind of cool the units isn't the same as you might in other places, in the likes of Silicon Valley, where a lot of these companies may be based.
Yeah, so like I think, to be honest with you, that's a narrative that's been put out there that Ireland is ideally suited, when in reality, nothing is further from the truth. Like at the moment, notwithstanding some really positive developments in the renewable space, Ireland has one of the most fossil fuel reliant electricity systems out there. It remains really reliant on, particularly on gas to generate electricity. So it's not the case at the moment, and we're talking about the here and now, that Ireland is simply ideally suited. And, you know, as we heard before, the real litmus test, or where the rubber really met the road, is the fact that they've been putting our electricity system at risk. And we, as a result of that, AirGrid had to put in place a moratorium and an effective moratorium on connections around Dublin. And like the other reality is that just because they pose certain benefits, of course, they're important in terms of the IT sector and the data they use. It doesn't necessarily follow that they provide significant economic growth or employment in Ireland. In fact, they provide very little employment.
Yeah,
and that's
but they do have to go somewhere, don't they?
Arguments. Well, I guess the question is, there are limits, and they don't have to necessarily, the bulk of them or the significant amount of development don't have to be located in Ireland,
yeah.
Given what we've mentioned before about our fossil fuel reliant system, our climate obligations,
yeah.
And the threat to electricity security.
Quite a few people getting in touch, like, John, can you please advise listeners that those many video clips and thousands of photos are amongst the items stored within these data centres, maybe deleting them can help. Somebody else says, I'm sorry if this is a silly question, but what exactly is a data centre? It's not a silly question. Maybe we should have said it at the outset, but John has kind of answered the question. When people talk about the cloud, it's slightly more complicated than this, but just for the purposes of simplification, when people talk about the cloud, they're talking about data centers. All the stuff, all the information we store online is actually stored in these places, and you need massive amounts of electricity to keep those places cool. That's kind of the big job of work that they have. Now, it is more complicated than that, but that's it at a very, very basic level. Leo says, at this stage, people will be telling us when to shower, when to use the dryer and use our heating. It's the old story, one rule for us and another rule for big business when it suits. And another says, are these data centres paying the same rates as we are in our homes? One thing I notice, Jerry, I mean, from these data centres, and I mean, there's been a proliferation of them right across the country. When you look at them from above, very few have solar panels on the roof or anything like that. Now, I'm not suggesting a few solar panels is going to kind of meet the massive electricity needs of these types of centres. But I mean, are there kind of simple things, low-hanging fruit that we could be looking at that might ease the problem? Things like that.
The short answer is there absolutely should be significantly greater obligations on data centres to support or to invest in greater amounts of renewables and storage on their site.
Mm.
Now, having said that, what many data centre developers are interested in doing is partnering with major renewable developers, and in order to, you know, decarbonize or to reduce the amount of pollution associated with their energy. And you might say, what's the issue? Is that not a good thing? And I guess the risk that Friends of the Earth commonly encounters or raises is that renewables in that scenario that could be developed, that should be used to decarbonize our homes or our transport. Should it be used, and this is a question and a debate that frankly hasn't been had sufficiently, should it be used or targeted merely at one particular industry that provides, we would question the degree of economic benefit it provides, specifically on the data center side. So I think there is much more that can be done on site, and I think there needs to be a proper regulatory framework put in place for that, a much stronger one. And in the meantime, there needs to be a moratorium until that is in place. And just one last point, going back to, you know, that very fair question around what do data centers actually do? I mean, they are significant, and you know, they're in many different countries for housing our data. But there's also a broader question around what data is needed, or what data is actually, or how that data is used. So in many, a significant proportion is about mining our data, using our information, and sending us more ads, trying to get us to consume more, and trying to develop AI on the back of all that. So it's not necessarily the case that we can simply say all data storage is a good thing. That line of argument doesn't necessarily follow.
Lots of people still getting in touch. As part of a planning application for a data centre, why can't it be made to put solar panels to reduce energy usage, which is, I guess, the point that myself and Jerry were just talking about. Solar farms don't produce food. Prime farmland should not be used to build them, like in North Dublin and South Mead, being examples, says one listener. A Cork listener says, what percentage of Ireland's total carbon emissions does this equate to? And we now have the green agenda saying we need to curb the agri sector at the same time the mind boggles. And the answer to increased demand for electricity is to create more electricity. Why is Ireland not creating any additional electricity? For example, build a nuclear power plant. Wind won't get there on its own. So the whole range of views expressed on the text line. But Dara Cassidy from Bonkers is still with us. John the Napper has a kind of a related question, Dara. I don't want to put you on the spot, but he says, if we're generating more power from wind, why don't we see reductions in the cost of electricity for households?
Oh, God. Well, we have something called marginal pricing. So quite often the price of electricity isn't necessarily as directly related to the price of wind as you might think. But at a more simple level, when people set up wind farms, the way the process works in Ireland is that there is an auction called RES, and wind farms are actually guaranteed a price for the electricity that they produce under these auctions. And that price is actually quite high. And it's probably a lot higher than people think. A lot of the auctions are coming in at around maybe 80 to 90 euro per megawatt hour. That might mean a lot to listeners, but up until recently, we would have been seeing prices on the wholesale markets of around maybe 30 to 40 euro per megawatt hour. So I'm always at pains to point out that renewable energy, and in particular wind energy, is not free. And in Ireland's case, it's not particularly cheap either for several reasons. So when we move towards a more, you know, more renewable energy on the grid, we're absolutely going to have a cleaner energy supply. But I think people are going to be very, very disappointed if they think that really, really cheap electricity is coming on board anytime soon. So that's probably why. But just quickly, Kieran, one final thing. The question around, you know, jobs as a result of data centres is brought up a lot. And yes, they do support a lot of jobs in Ireland because there are, you know, ancillary support services that create jobs as well. But competitive energy prices and a stable grid is also really, really important to attracting foreign direct investment in Ireland. And if we keep going where we are with data centres, that is going to put, in my opinion, upward pressure on electricity prices, and it could increase the instability of the grid. And that is not going to be good for foreign direct investment either. So we need to think of it from both sides.
Can the heat from data centres not be harnessed for our energy needs, wonders one listener. And somebody quite ominously observes, all these data centres will make us a legitimate target in any future war. Dara Cassidy, Head of Communications with Bonkers.ie. Jerry McEvely, who's the Head of Policy at Friends of the Earth. Dara and Jerry, thank you both very much for joining me here on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.